I hope that you've had a moment to look in your bulletins for those that we especially need to lift up in prayer. And let us be doing that in our hearts and lifting up so many that we know of that are still struggling with the loss of life due to natural disasters and many other forms. So let us go to God in prayer. Most loving God, you're gathered in this moment of silence, remembering your Son, Jesus Christ, going to the cross for us for the forgiveness of our sins, having faith in us that we would sin less and love more. And God, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, we are filled with so many memories, so many blessings, so much in our lives to be thankful for, God. And yet we know that there are those that this Thanksgiving Sunday, this Thanksgiving day, there will be one less around the table. Maybe there will be one who is serving across the world to protect us. Maybe one has transferred to the church triumphant and surrounded by your glory. Maybe one is no longer there due to conflict in the family. Maybe one is not there because they're in the hospital or some other facility in which they are trying desperately to regain their health. So God, around the table this Thanksgiving, we will still give you thanks and trust, as the wonderful scripture reminds us, that all things work together for good. Those who love the Lord are called according to his purpose. So God, on this Thanksgiving, we choose to give thanks rather than pity or hurt or bogged down in despair. Through your Holy Spirit, you will lift each and every heart, mind, and soul unto the glory of Christ, because we trust in the Holy Spirit to guide us in each and every day, to help us be reinforced in our purpose to share Christ with all and to live a life that reflects his teachings. So God, we thank you that we've been able to come together in this moment. We do always ask for awareness of our sins, and we ask for forgiveness of our sins. And help us in strength and in courage to rise above sin and into righteousness. We pray this prayer and all of our prayers sent to you in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We do thank each and every one of you who have participated in this family-to-family drive, and I know that many lives are going to be so blessed when they open up those boxes and see the blessings by your thoughtfulness. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we are always glad to share our blessings to you, knowing that you just ask for a portion of all that you give unto us. But with gladness of heart, we share them with you, O God, knowing in confidence you use them for missions and ministries pleasing unto you. Bless your people, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
My life is letting me down the road that's so uncertain. Now I'm left alone and I am broken, trying to find my way trying to find the faith that's gone. This time, I know that you are holding all the answers. And I'm tired of losing hope and taking chances on the roads that never seem to be the ones that bring me home. Give me a revelation, show me what to do. 'Cause I've been trying to find my way, I haven't got a clue. And tell me, should I stay here or do I need to move? Give me a revelation, I've got nothing without you. I've got nothing without you. My life has led me down this path. It's ever winding. Through every twist and turn, I'm always finding that I am lost again. Tell me when this road will ever end. Give me a revelation, show me what to do. 'Cause I've been trying to find my way, I haven't got a clue. And tell me, should I stay here or do I need to move? Give me a revelation, I've got nothing without you. I've got nothing without you. I don't know where I can turn. Tell me, when will I learn? Won't you show me where I need to go? Oh, let me follow your lead. I know that it's the only way that I can get back home. Be revelation, show me what to do. 'Cause I've been trying to find my way, I haven't got a clue. Tell me, should I stay here or do I need to move? Give me a revelation, I got nothing without you. I got nothing without you, no. Oh no, oh no. Give me a revelation. I've got nothing without you. I've got nothing without you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and the many blessings you've given us. We all have so much to be thankful for. Help us to remember this each and every day, to do your will. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The scripture today has a very, very special meaning to me. I've shared with you before that I feel like my calling into ministry is largely due to the impact that my grandmother, who lived next door to me growing up, and my grandfather, who actually served this church but passed away 2 years before I was born, but my grandmother kind of made him alive to me with stories of their ministry together. So part of her legacy was sharing to me important scriptures. So in the month of November, like many of you, I have focused on things I am thankful for each day. And today I celebrate the thankfulness I have for the legacy of faith passed to me in my family. This was my grandmother's favorite passage. Hear it now from Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. It sounded a bit like a scene from Leave It to Beaver. Am I that old? You all never saw Leave It to Beaver? Thank you. Why didn't you sing with me then? Because you don't remember the tune? I'm sorry, I won name that tune one time. So it was an after-school program called Marvelous Mondays. It was Thanksgiving week. And I was serving early on in my ministry a smaller community. And this program, we had worked with the school, and the bus would drop off the children at the church. And, of course, what do you do with children right after school? You feed them. And so we gave them snacks, let them run off a little bit of that energy out on our church playground, and then called them in, and we had the devotional. We had some wonderful piano playing by Mrs. Hazel Weaver. And then we had a craft to kind of reinforce the devotional lesson. And on this Thanksgiving week, I wanted to do something kind of special and give them just a little gift to let them know how thankful I was that they were coming to First United Methodist Church every week of their school year to allow us to nurture them in their faith. And so, again, just starting out, didn't have a whole lot of money, but we had 30 children, but I thought I'd do something that maybe they would appreciate. So I had a big roll of shiny quarters, and I gave each and every one of them a quarter. Again, not a lot of money, but they would know that the preacher gave them something they could put in the piggy bank or go buy a gumball or whatever. But I came down to the 30th child and handed that quarter. And he looked at me and in Beaver Cleaver style said, "Gee, thanks, preacher." You know, as Christians, we know, right, that we're supposed to be giving, helpful, loving, assuring, encouraging. And we know that the expectation of preachers are to be faithful, servants, available. Well, there was once a little boy that was going over to a friend's house and was trying his hardest to ring the doorbell. He just wasn't quite tall enough. Well, the preacher across the street was going down to have the coffee at the coffee shop, and he saw this little boy just straining to try to reach that doorbell. So he thought he'd be helpful and go across the street and pick up the little tyke and help him ring the doorbell. So he very gently picked him up. The little boy rang the doorbell, and he brought the little boy back down. And he looked at him and he said, "Now what, little fella?" And the little boy said, "Now we run." So, I mean, I get it. Sometimes we don't quite understand our purpose. It can be a bit tricky to understand sometimes. So here's Paul, and he's talking to us about what we should do as Christians. I mean, why are we here? Do you think about that from time to time? I mean, you're created for a reason. You're created for a purpose. We talk about this from time to time. And sometimes our purpose matures and our purpose kind of transitions from one thing to another. But we know that we are given a God-given purpose. And it's just pretty simple to me. No matter what age or stage in life I am or you are in, this is our purpose. We are to live in thankful presence. Now think about that. Living in thankful presence. We hear a lot about being present for someone. So think about that with me for just a minute. Paul's letter to the church at Philippi is speaking to the new converts of the way of Christ. And he is saying that the way of Christ is to be in one mind, one heart, one body, one soul. And to build up the body of Christ in faith and leave behind your differences. As Christians, you and I, too, are pretty vulnerable on holding on to our differences. And let me ask you something. Why is it in the holidays our differences are magnified? I mean, you know, our emotions are kind of soaring, and, you know, we're either really excited to be around that family table of extended family, or we're not. And maybe we're not because we're still holding on to a conversation that was made in 1988. Maybe it's something that happened during the year and you didn't get noticed enough, or you didn't like their answer to something, or whatever, whatever. I mean, sometimes that family table can be an interesting thing to experience. And so whatever it is that we are hanging on to keeps us from going in a healthier direction because we've not let go and let God. The best way I know to do that is to be thankful. Ask God to give you a spirit of wisdom. Ask God to give you an increased spirit of discernment to know really what's happening here that's a little deeper than what it looks like on the surface, that maybe has a whole history that you don't know anything about. To gain a new perspective, enabling you and me to live in a thankful presence. I think that most of what we hang on to is pretty insignificant, right? I mean, we can get caught up in the tiniest details. And really, you know, if you cut to the chase and you look at it, it's not really about that. Those are symptoms of something deeper. And before I start sounding like a psychologist, Kay Cogwell, I will stop right there and let that be to you. You're really a psychologist. But you feel like you're misunderstood at times. You feel like something's been misinterpreted. Welcome to Jesus' world. I mean, was there ever a time that Jesus was fully understood? Was there ever a time that Jesus was fully appreciated? I mean, think about it now. If he cast out a demonic spirit from someone, well, they accused him of being a demon himself. I mean, you got to be like someone, right, to understand something, to be able to cast it out, right? That was the thinking. And if he raised someone from the dead, well, they accused him of being a prophet that had come back to life from the dead. Oh, and forgiveness of sins? He knew that you needed to get the guilt and the shame out of your heart, get that cleansed, get that forgiveness, that grace, before your body could heal. Because we do know that a lot of our ailments and situations are due to something that's not quite gee-hauling right here or right here. And so he would forgive sins, and well, he was charged with blasphemy. That was a chargeable offense of death. Only God could do that. And they just missed it. They were looking at God, the living Son of God, authorized by God, empowered by God to forgive sins. Jesus couldn't catch a break, not one. But you show me a scripture where he whines that he didn't get a break. You won't find it, because that's not the way our Lord operates. Not then, not now. No. What did he do? He went and prayed. What did he do? He gave thanks. Even before he had a meal, he took the bread, he broke it, he gave thanks unto God, and he gave it to others and fed himself last. He thanked God for his daily food. He thanked God for his provisions. He went to the Word that strengthened and empowered him and guided him. So I've asked you to think about your purpose being that of living in thankful presence. Is there something that you can think of that might block you from living that way? I thought of a few things. First thing I thought of was entitlement. Entitlement. That state of perspective or thinking that you deserve this, you are worth this, you have it coming to you, it's expected. Where would we be if that had been the mindset of Jesus Christ? He said if you're going to be great or entitled, you have to humble yourself. He said if you're going to be first or entitled, you got to be willing to be last. People who are entitled listen to what they say, and I will be in almost every sentence. Their needs are always the focus in their mind rather than the needs of others. In the story of the rich young ruler, he asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, You have to give it away. You have to give everything that means the most to you in life and give it away. What means the most to you in your life? Can you imagine giving it away? Can you imagine living your life without it? Would you have a life without it? And then we hear the scripture The root of all evil is the love of money. It's not money, but the love of it. And then we hear Proverbs, the scripture. Pride goes before destruction. So the rich young ruler couldn't imagine his life without his things. What can you not imagine living this day without? Second thing that I think that blocks us is a lack of awareness. We can become so consumed in our busyness that we forget to be thankful, that we overlook our blessings, that we overlook being thankful. We can become complacent, so used to our blessings. When the new Christians were gathered in the Christian church by Paul, he had found some of them wanting because they were new Christians. The older, more established Christians who had this religion thing, don't you know, down pat, they were totally oblivious to the need of the younger ones. The need for nurturing, the need for training, the need for perhaps provisions. They had gotten too comfortable in their faith. They had grown so comfortable they couldn't see it. And Paul was quick to point it out. And he basically says to them and to you and me, if you are in the Holy Spirit, you will see the need. And not only that, you won't be able to stop yourself from responding to the need. The third thing, preoccupied with troubles. Our scripture text says, have no anxiety about anything, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace that passes all understanding will keep your minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. It's so true. Can you do much of anything if you are focused on your problem? I mean, it can consume you, right? I mean, we are so quick to worry when things don't look right, when things don't feel right, when we see something amiss, when we believe, it hadn't happened yet, but we anticipate something is going to happen. Well, when we worry and that's all we think about, we show no faith. We show no patience. We show no trust. When you don't show those three things, believe those three things, you cannot love. Preacher, how can you say I cannot love? Because you're not believing in God. You're not believing God, who created everything, can take care of you and your problem. And if you don't believe that God can do that, then you cannot love. 1 John 4:1, 7th verse. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And he who loves God knows God, and he who does not know God cannot love. For God is love. To know God is to be thankful to God. Now, here's getting meddling in your business. Do you love God for what God does for you every day? For what God has given you? Your family, your work, your friends, roof over your head. Do you love God for what God is doing for you? Or do you love God because you just can't help but love God? That'll quicken us in our footsteps sometimes because we are quick to blame God when things aren't going our way. We are quick to forget to thank God when things are good. We're just so quick to give other people credit when you might stop and think, God brought that into place because of A and B and C that happened and they merged together. We get guilty sometimes. We're not thankful sometimes. A few years ago, I started a spiritual discipline, something I should have done a long time ago. And it was first thing in the morning, before I write that Facebook devotional, first thing in the morning I get up and I thank God first for taking me safely through the night. I thank God second for a warm shower that waits for me and for breakfast on the table and for work to do and energy to do it. But I didn't used to do that. And the reason I didn't used to do that is because I would go at night and pray before I went to sleep and hand God my problems and say, okay, I'm really struggling with this. This isn't good. It's not good for my spirit. It's not good for my life. It's not good for my family. Whatever it was, it's not good. And I would pray to God, help me with this. Help me, Lord. Let me know you're working on it, Lord. And then I would settle down. I'd go to sleep. But guess what? Next morning, it's right there. I was still worried about it because I hadn't truly let go of it. Okay? As the first thing that was still consuming me, I wasn't trusting God. I wasn't being thankful. I wasn't believing that God was going to take care of things, and I sure wasn't being patient waiting on it to get fixed. Tony's father, the late Reverend Alan Hilliard, was my mentor for some 20 years until we lost him in 98. He said, you know, preachers don't get a chance to do a lot of worship because they're leading worship, they're working worship. So what you're going to have to do is make little Sabbaths. You're going to have those little breathing prayers, whether you're driving for a while, whether you're listening to praise music or beautiful hymns, whatever. He says, you're just going to have to breathe in those short little moments of the Holy Spirit, those little Sabbaths, and that will sustain you. And I will never forget it because it's been great counsel. There's no doubt it's really hard to thank God when you're in the midst of trouble. And there's not a person in this room that hasn't or is or won't get involved in some kind of something that consumes them, some trouble. You're sad maybe because of a loved one's addiction. You're sad, even petrified, by lack of finances that were kind of in place last year, but they're not looking so good this year. Maybe you're concerned about your health. Maybe you're just not sure about your job, not sure about this relationship, and you're worried about it. Almost worrying yourself to being sick. Well, God will not fail you or forsake you. I want you to just say that with me. My God will not fail me or forsake me. Amen? The reason I know that, the Bible told me that. That's in Deuteronomy 31. Also, Jesus said it as his last thing before he ascended unto heaven and God. I will never leave you. Or, lo, I will be with you always. Whichever way you want to say it. God's blessings are given according to the riches of his grace and not according to the depth of our faithfulness. Thanks be to God. Amen. Can you imagine if that's the way it really was? If that's the way this faith thing worked? That God's only going to be good according to how faithful we are? That's not the way it works. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, risen from the dead, giver of all good grace. And that's why it's called grace, because we don't deserve it, because we haven't been as faithful. It makes God God. It makes the church strong. So many of our praise choruses that we sing in these services here are all built around some wonderful psalms of thanksgiving. And it wouldn't be Thanksgiving for me anyway if I didn't share with you a portion of a psalm that really, really talks about being thankful. And it's Psalm 100. And many of you may have had to memorize it years ago. But here's a portion of it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us, not we ourselves. Give thanks unto him and praise his holy name. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations, all the way up until now, and the generations to follow us. God's love, God's goodness will be there. The word in the psalm is our hope. Paul's word to pray with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving unto God is our peace. Something good is going to happen to you today. Something you don't expect. Something you're not looking for. Something good is going to happen to you today. How do I know that? I'm not a psychologist or a therapist or a philosopher giving you some power of positive thinking here. I'm sharing with something that you know deep down in your heart because you know the love of God. You're here because of God's love. And I know this because God is real and works in real ways through real people. Something good from God Himself is going to happen to you today. Expect that blessing, receive that blessing, and go forth and be a blessing. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We invite the congregation to pray as we welcome the band forward. Let us pray. Oh, most loving and gracious God, how grateful we are that you have given us this thing called life. And God, we know we mess up sometimes, incredibly. But we also know through your guidance and your love and your wisdom that sometimes we do some pretty incredible stuff. And we do it because you are there with us, guiding us. And Lord God, we thank you for each and every one here. And we just pray, dear God, that you would bless each and every one and take us and use us for your will, your purpose, and your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. We invite the congregation to stand as we have our closing song. And as always, the prayer rails are open for you. They're here set up for you and your prayer time. If you need to have a moment to just pray to God and be surrounded by your church family here who's praying for you. And as always, if there's anyone here who would like to unite with this church in any ways we receive members, oh, we welcome you now. Let us stand and sing.
You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And I will sing again. You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song, and I will sing again. You ride up on the clouds, you lead me to the truth, you are the Spirit inside me. You ride up on the clouds, you lead me to the truth, you are the Spirit inside me. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And I will sing again. You are my strong melody, yeah. You are my dancing rhythm. You are my perfect rhyme. and I want to sing forever. You died upon the cross, you poured out all your blood. You are my Jesus who loves me. You poured out all your blood, you died upon the cross. You are my Jesus who loves me, yeah. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And I will sing again. And I will sing again. And I will sing again. You are my Father in heaven. You are the Spirit inside me. You are my Jesus who loves me.
You have this life to be so thankful for. I know you'll go out these doors today and share your blessings, share your love. In Jesus' name, amen.